All right, good evening, everyone. If you would, let's stand as we worship the Lord tonight. So great to see everyone.
Sing of your love forever. I can
Shout of praise.
Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Numbers. We're going to be in chapter 9. I've titled this, How to Walk in the Right Direction. That's so important for me. I always want to be taking steps forward. I always want to be working towards a goal, getting somewhere that I need to be. But that's not always been the case in my life. And the most significant night that I remember of not going in the right direction was in the hills of Kentucky. I was coon hunting, competition coon hunt. It's a 2-hour hunt. Cut the dogs loose, and man, I know this ain't going to excite y'all, but my dog was the first one to bark, the first one to tree on the first let loose. I said, all right, we on track right now. We just had to walk up the hill, this big pasture, and we dropped off into the woods. And he wasn't far down there. And we got almost to him. He quit barking. He never quits barking. Ever since he was a puppy. Well, then he started up again, and it was real light, and he started coughing. Well, we got in there to him, and he was covered with sweat, like he had been in a pond. There ain't no water anywhere close. And I realized he was sick, and I had to, I mean, he's fixing to die. I mean, his tongue's hanging. It's an awful situation. So I said, I'm going to remove my dog, and I'm going to get on out of here. The truck's just back that way, right? I've always had a pretty decent sense of direction in the woods. And they said, yeah, but are you sure you want to take off by yourself? Because we got to keep hunting. I said, look, I feel like this is the right thing to do. I said, it's just right there. 3 hours later, I'm somewhere in the woods of Kentucky. To this day, I don't know where I was, but I finally ran up on a fence. And I said, all right, there's a fence. So I just followed the fence, and I found a dirt road. And then I followed the dirt road, and I finally came out on a paved road. Lord knows where I'm at. That's a sick feeling. This was before cell phones had a GPS and all that. I mean, literally, I'm at the Lord's mercy out here with my dog and a buddy of mine. I don't like to be going in the wrong direction. When God leads His people, they can walk through uncertainty with peace because His presence goes with them. I had no certainty that night. And when we don't do that, when we don't follow God, undesirable consequences fill our lives. If you're anything like me, you'll make decisions without ever praying about them. You'll chase peace and comfort, and God's just an afterthought. You'll follow your feelings. This feels good. It's got to be the right thing. And then we wonder, why am I so restless? Why am I filled with anxiety? What about God's presence? Was that ever part of the equation? The surest way to walk rightly is to wait on the Lord. Follow His word and obey His leading. We're going to look at a time when the children of Israel were on the right path. Now, I know you can look back through there and you're going to find them left and right and center and all over the place. But when I read this passage of Numbers this week, it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, they're doing exactly what I need to be doing. They, in this moment, are living out a model of what Christians should be doing today. And so that's my hope for you. I hope you see the same thing that I saw, and that we can follow their example and have the comfort of knowing that we are following God and we will always be going in the right direction. Here's a weighty truth that we must not forget. God's presence matters most. Let's read verses 15 and 16 together. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And in the evening, it was like an appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously, the cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. The cloud is a visible symbol of God's presence. We see that in Exodus 40, 34 through 45. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the cloud is going to be a representation symbolic of God. And then I want us to take this to the New Testament. Our bodies, your body, is described as a tent. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 12 says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." So each of us are described, our bodies are described as a tent. And the Holy Spirit, as we know, and gladly get to experience as believers today, dwells inside the temple of every believer's body. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" So Israel had the visible cloud over the tabernacle. Believers today have the indwelling Spirit and the completed Word of God today. Busyness is not equal to God's presence. I'm going to say that one more time. In our society today, we are busier than we've ever been. I'm going to say that. Maybe there was another time. I've never had another time where we've been this busy. But busyness is not equal to God's presence. I can be surrounded by motion and still be spiritually directionless. You can be busy at work. You can be busy with your family. You can be busy here at church. Busy on your phone. Busy making plans. And still not be following the Lord. I think we'll all testify that God's presence is the greatest assurance of the right path. In this passage, Israel camped and traveled only when the cloud moved. That's something to think about. They were totally reliant upon the cloud, God's presence. If it moved, they moved. If it stayed, they stayed. There's a lesson right there. But we think that, I do, oftentimes I think I know where security and direction lies. Is anybody out there with me tonight? You think you know where things are going to be secure? We went to Cade's Cove when the kids were little, and I was mountain biking then. That was just something I was kind of into. Carried my mountain bike, and it's 12 miles, I think, around Cade's Cove. I said, "I'm going to ride it on my bike." Bethany thought I was crazy. She said, "We're just going to stay and ride it in the car." And I said, "Well, that's fine." So I get on my bicycle, and I tear off. And I literally raced through there. I didn't try to enjoy it. I just wanted to ride on the road. I get around, and I'm waiting in the parking lot. I thought, how long does it take to drive through here on a car? I drove it on a bicycle. I said, "I'm going to do it again and see if I can make it back before they get." So I take off again. I'm safe, right? I'm on the road. And I get to going around on the backside, coming around. I'm just zoom, 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 zoom. And I noticed there's some cars pulled over on the side of the road. And I thought, why are all these cars pulled over right here? Well, I just kept trucking. And they were all staying back. And I'm just zoom, 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 zoom. I'm going to make it back before Bethany. And about that time, there is a mama black bear and her cubs right there on the side of the road. I said, "Roar!" And, you know, I put the brakes on. Because I don't know a lot about black bears. But I do know that you don't want to get between them and their cubs. And that's exactly where I was headed. Right there where I thought would be the safest spot. Where are you going to be safer than the main road? Just because I thought it was going to be safe, it absolutely was not safe. Thankfully, I'm here. She liked the grubs on the bottom of the log that she was holding up more than she liked me, and I survived. In our passage, the safest place in the wilderness was not always the easiest place, the most comfortable place, or the place that made the most sense. You know where the safest place was? In God's presence. A question for us: are we valuing God's presence more than our own plans? Are we valuing God's direction more than the direction that we have made up ourselves? Peace begins when I stop treating God as a helper and start treating Him as Lord. Have y'all seen, and if y'all have this on your car, I'm not mad at you, but have you seen the car tags on the front of the cars that says, "God is my co-pilot"? I love the sentiment of that. Like He's with you. I don't need God to be my co-pilot. I need Him to sit in the pilot seat. And I don't even want to sit up in the cab, honestly. Like, I just want to go sit in the back and trust that He's going to take us where He needs to go. A helper, if we treat God like a helper, you know, a helper gets consulted when? See, that's the role I've played most of my life in most of my jobs. I've never been much, you know, I kind of was the helper guy. The helper gets consulted when the plans are already made. God don't need to be our helper. God needs to be the boss that's telling us what the plan is if we're ever going to have any security. Three things to ensure God's presence matters most. Number one, we've got to learn to pray before we move. That was a great illustration earlier, that little story from the missionary. What did that lady want to stop and do before they went off into the jungle? Hey, we need to stop. We need to ask for God's provision. That's a good example. We need to obey before we feel ready. I know comfort is a big deal. It's a big deal to me. I like to be comfortable with everything that I'm going to do. But guess what? Everything that God calls you to do, He's not going to surround it with comfort. Comfort doesn't need to be the measure of whether you go or stay. We need to be ready to obey even when we're not comfortable. And we need to trust God's presence in uncertain seasons. It's easy to trust God when the bills are paid, all our friends are happy, our health is good. That's easy. And we like to trust God then. But we need to also trust Him when the bills are not going to be paid, we don't have any friends anymore, and it looks like the end may be near. The cloud did not merely inform Israel, it governed their movements. A clock is a useful tool, but not always a useful guide. Our second truth is God's command matters more than human timing. Let's read 17 through 20 together, several verses. Whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out at all. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. That's pretty simple. It sounds real simple. Well, I mean, of course, what's the big deal? The cloud was there, they stayed. The cloud, well, hey, we got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us telling us to go left and we go right. Go right, we go left, stay, and we go, go, and we stay all the time. So this is a big deal. I'm proud of them. They stayed with it, but it's real simple. If the Lord left, they picked up and went with Him. If the Lord said, "We're going to stay here for a little while," they kicked their feet up and said, "Well, we're going to stay too." I would do a lot better if I could just follow that with the Holy Spirit's leading in my own life. It sounds simple, but to me, that was profound. I said, that's obedience. It's a great example. Why can't Philip do that more? It's not like I don't know what God wants me to do most of the time. I've got His Word. I read it all the time. That's not the problem. The problem's me. I'm often obsessed with knowing what time it is. Anybody else that way? I like to know what time it is, even if I'm not doing anything. I'll get my phone out. Y'all ever do that? Nobody does that? Y'all don't care? Well, I care what time it is. I'm looking at what time it is right now. You say, do you care what time it is on Sunday morning? Because you preach over sometimes. Hey. A clock can measure time, but it cannot determine the right direction. The calendar can tell you when a deadline is, which is helpful. Your emotions can tell you what you want, but none of those have authority to overrule God. I think it's great to plan. I think we have a brain, and God gave it to you to use it, to make plans. But just because we make a plan doesn't mean it's from God. And sometimes we take a plan that we didn't get from God, we never prayed about it, and now that's the only thing. And God's sitting there going, mm-mm. But we're going, no, but it's on the calendar, God, I got to do that. That's not following the example of following the Lord when He's leading you that we just saw in the Israelites. I often, and see if y'all like this, I often want God to fit my schedule instead of Him making my schedule. Anybody out there? Come on, God, get in this box that I've created. Right here. I guess really nice. I cleaned it up for you. That ain't it. God's timing is wiser than my urgency. Notice Israel stayed when the cloud stayed even for many days. We see a great example of when somebody didn't wait on the Lord, even though it required many days, with King Saul. Many of you will remember this story. In 1 Samuel 13, 8 and 9, now he, King Saul, waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. Now let's think about this before we get down on King Saul. Samuel said he'd be there in 7 days, and Saul waited 7 days. And so now it's been longer than that, and he's thinking, well, something must have happened to him. He ain't coming. So he's kind of outside of he did wait when he was supposed to, and he's got people leaving that he needs to fight with. And he's seeing his army go away. He's in dire straits from a human standpoint. But what does he do? He doesn't wait on the Lord. He takes it into his own hands and he commits something that he ain't supposed to do. What did the Lord do? Instead of God establishing Saul's kingship, he took it from him. He ripped the kingdom out of his hand. He ended up being a crazy man. If you go on to read that, it's pretty hard to read Saul's trials that he went through. So, am I obeying God or just obeying my self-developed schedule? Waiting, here's a word. Seriously, I think at least one person in here needs to hear it, if not maybe two, including myself. Waiting is not wasted time when God is the one telling you to wait. In our culture today, I think we've got to a place where we feel guilty if we're still. Anybody feel that? Like you're not running around, what are you? You're worthless. Sometimes God just wants you to be still. I'm convicted that some people are scared to death to be still. Truly take a Sabbath. Clear your mind from this world. Clear your mind from the work of the world. Clear your mind from the worry of the world. Put your mind on God. Be still and just let Him minister to you. Let Him restore you. I think we're scared to death of it. I think we've been trained that that is a humongous waste of time. Well, what could you have been doing while you were sitting there waiting on God? What if we took the Sabbath back? What if we took the Sabbath serious again? I'm not saying we were perfect when I was growing up, but when I was growing up, boy, Sunday, nothing was open. Gas stations weren't even open, so you was kind of scared to drive your car unless you had a full tank because there wasn't a gas station to put gas back in your car. Why was there not a gas station open and a restaurant open? Because everybody, by and large, whether it was a blue law or whatever, they were taking a Sabbath. They were resting. And here we are in 2026. Monday looks the same as Tuesday, looks the same as Wednesday, looks the same as Thursday, looks the same as Friday, looks the same as Saturday, looks the same as Sunday. And then we get back to Monday, and we're mad at God because we're tired and we don't want to do this. And God's like, well, did you take the day I gave you and commanded you to rest and be still? Well, no, that was the only day I had to do this. Well, you traded, not me. I think we could get in a really good place if we could get back to a place where we could truly have a Sabbath again. Rest and relax. Have you ever noticed when you're bored to death, like on a rainy day, at the end of the day you've been cooped in that house, if somebody just gave you a shovel and said, would you go dig a hole, man, you'd run out of the yard and go dig it. Because you're ready to work again. You've been cooped up. But we never have no time to work and get cooped up and rest to go again. I think a Sabbath would do us a great service. Here's some tangible things that can help us. Don't force open doors. I do this all the time. I try to do it less now than I used to, but I used to be horrible about it. Well, I think this is what's supposed to happen, so I'm going to force it. What does that look like? Don't manipulate a situation. If the door's closed, leave it closed. Don't pressure people. Don't ignore the conviction to stop or call impatience faith just because you want movement. Sometimes God closes doors. The Lord's charge is more reliable than my timetable. I love to get in the recliner and get comfortable. I can't believe there was not an amen in that. Not one amen in the whole house. Y'all are asleep. I have put y'all down. I can't get an amen on a recliner. We in a bad shape in here. I'm just going to hurry through this last point. We love to get in the recliner and get comfortable, but God's people must wait ready. Let's read this last part, 21 and 22. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they'd move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month, or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained, camped, and did not set out. But when it was lifted, what does it say? They did set out. If God moved first thing in the morning, they picked up camp and moved in the daylight. If God decided He was going to move at 2 a.m., sounds to me like, wipe the sleep out of your eyes. It's time to get up. God's ready to go. I didn't determine. It's kind of like the beach trips that I take with the kids. Hey, 3 o'clock, we going. They better get up. I'm not going to get caught in the traffic all day. And guess what? They're ready on that situation. If we could get ready like we're getting ready to go to the beach, I think we'd be in a lot better shape. We have become a generation driven left and right by convenience. We love convenience. Everything's about convenience. But comfort can make us slow to move when God speaks. Sometimes I'm reluctant to move for God when I've got my keys, the air conditioner's cranked up, and that thing's full of $120 worth of diesel fuel. And I'm still reluctant to move. And I'm ready to go. I mean, I got everything. The truck's cranked. It's rattling away. And I'm just sitting there going, well, I got to put it in drive, though. I'd hate to reach up there and press the brake and pull it down into D. I can get settled into convenience and risk God leading me to move. I'm afraid we all are guilty of that from time to time. These verses give the example of staying ready. Why? Because God can move at any time. I mentioned the recliner. It's good to rest. But you got to be ready to get out of it too. The rich fool planned for ease, but he was not ready for eternity. He leads the opposite example. Luke 12, 19 through 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid out for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. He was good at the taking ease part, but then look at the last. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you prepared? He got to resting and enjoying that, but he wasn't ready. Am I available to obey whenever God calls? That's a good question. Are you available whenever God calls? We had a sermon several weeks ago, and that was the whole key of the sermon, is just to be available. It sounds simple. It sounds like that wouldn't be helpful at all. But are you? Are you available? Are you ready when God calls? Readiness is part of faithfulness. Here's a tough but a helpful question. When God interrupts your plans, do you treat it like leadership or inconvenience? That's a heart. That'll get to the heart. Are you excited for the opportunity? Oh, God's going to use me. He's calling me up. I'm not always this way, but I know exactly what it feels like. When I was in eighth grade playing varsity baseball, I didn't play a pitch. We didn't have junior high and junior varsity. Like, they got everything now. I mean, these kids, they got a league for every grade, so you always get a chance to play. I was an eighth grader with seniors. Do you think I was going to get to play? No. And the coach did not play me. Until, now this is the last game of the season. We've played a full baseball season. I've watched every pitch from the dugout. Very difficult. We're in the last inning, the last at bat. And I'm just sitting there watching like I always am. And I'll never forget, the coach came over there to the dugout. He said, Bremerman, get a helmet to bat. I'm going to let you bat. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to say now that I actually played varsity baseball as an eighth grader. Because previously, I set the bench as a varsity baseball player. Do you think that I was ready when he said that? I looked like Speedy Gonzalez. I had the helmet on backwards, holding the bat the wrong way, but I was out there in the batter's circle warming up, and I was ready to get out there and get it done. Is that the level of readiness that we have when God calls us up? Are we reluctant? Nah, coach, you ain't played me all year. I'm just going to keep sitting here. Might as well finish out like I started. God's people do not just wait, they wait ready. So I want to always be walking in the right direction, and I'm confident that you do too. I say that and I believe it. I think each and every one of you want to be walking in the right direction. Today we're tempted to follow everything but the Lord. You turn on your phone, they're happy to tempt you to go over here. They're tempted to get you to watch over there. They're tempted, a voice is tempted to talk to you about anything but the Lord. We're inundated with it. But we got to remember that true peace comes from knowing that we are following the Lord who always leads us in the right way. We don't have a cloud over, we don't have a tabernacle, we don't have the cloud, we don't have the fire today. We got more. If you're a believer tonight in here, I'm trusting in the Bible 100%. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, dwells inside of us. to me, that is even better because God is inside of me, willing and working and leading. And so what do we need to do? We need to lean more into God's Spirit in our lives if we want to go in the right direction. Now, if you came in tonight and you're not a believer, you don't have that yet. And that may answer why you're going sideways and going left and right and not really sure which way you need to go. But tonight, you can make that right. Because Jesus died for sinners, He rose from the dead, and He brings wandering people home to God through repentance and faith. And you can receive Him tonight by surrendering yourself and believing in Jesus as Lord. That's still available tonight. We may not always know which direction to go, but if we want Him, we can always have the one who does.